Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. UFC Central. UFC Central with Showdown Joe.
Are you ready?
Welcome to UFC Central. I'm your host, Showdown Joe, for the next hour. We're going to talk some mixed martial arts, UFC, and everything in between on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network. As always, special thank you to 40 Sons. Make sure you follow them online at 40 Sons for the title track, or I guess the anthem track to UFC Central. It is called Hurricane. You can check it out on iTunes. You can also subscribe to UFC Central on iTunes if you missed any previous podcasts, or you want to subscribe and make sure you get all the latest ones. Just go to iTunes, search for UFC Central, subscribe, and you are good to go. I'll preface this ahead of time. We're delayed by one day because I was feeling super ill yesterday. I'm feeling still ill today, so if you hear me sort of blank out for a second, it's because I'm hitting the mute button because I'm probably coughing or trying to get a sip of water or something, or some hot tea right here to keep me going for the next hour. Or so. Don't forget social media at Showdown Joe. That's the same for my Twitter, my Instagram, my Facebook. I mentioned it earlier earlier today actually, that I want to make this show a lot about the fans, at least later on in the second segment, addressing some questions from the fans. I know I write the Ask the Insider column every so often on sportsnet.ca, but I thought this week, why not? Why not we just throw it to the fans? I'll read some of your questions. Some of the nice ones, to be honest with you. Answer them on air. Give you some love via Twitter. Maybe people start following you as well, but we'll get to those a little later. I had an exceptional week, or at least weekend, starting last Saturday with the Gentlemen's Expo. We're going to hear from my onstage interview with George St. Pierre. I obviously can't play the whole thing, but I do have a variety of clips from some of the answers from George regarding a variety of topics, whether, you know, is he really coming back, and what's he doing right now in terms of training, some advice for future fighters, his thoughts on Hendricks Lawler, Rory McDonald, and stuff like that. So we'll get to those clips from George St. Pierre momentarily, courtesy of my onstage appearance with him at the Gentleman's Expo. Oh, by the way, I will address, I'll actually play and address Kenny Florian's comments that George St. Pierre agrees with Nick Diaz, that Kenny Florian agrees with Nick Diaz that George St. Pierre is afraid to fight Anderson Silva. We'll play that clip. We'll get to the bottom of that in a moment. I just want to say a special thank you to Bobby Razek, James Gaffsey, and the folks over at MMA Punching Bag, that Twitter account there, and everyone there. Special thanks to those guys for coming up. I'm putting on the double screening this week in Toronto. Bobby Razek is one of the best directors I've ever met in my life. The guy is absolutely fantastic. And he actually screened Mask, which is the untold story of Charles Mask Lewis, obviously the founder of Tap Out, and his, you know, from his life, and of course the untimely death when he died in the Ferrari, the car accident there. But the screening was a very emotional one, and I got to tell you, when you get a chance to watch it, I don't think it's going to be out till at least February of 2015. So if you ever get a chance to watch it, I highly recommend it. That one wasn't open to the public. It was only open to the media, and everyone that was there, it was definitely an emotional roller coaster. Getting all the footage that Bobby Razek has is just phenomenal, and the stuff he did there, how he all put it together, telling the story. There's so many seamless storylines that were intertwined throughout the production and throughout the documentary. It was absolutely fantastic, and you know, it's really crazy when you're watching a documentary like that. It's like any documentary that you watch, but more specifically this one here, how you sort of relate. You know, there were so many things that I was able to relate with Charles. And I'd met Charles a long time ago. I think the first time I met Charles was in 2003 in Hawaii when I was working for the Universal Combat Challenge. We had an event down there with TJ Thompson and Super Brawl. He was just such a great guy. And throughout the years, got to know him and the rest of the Tapo crew, Punk Ass and Skyscrape, and just great guys. But Charles, I mean, it was just super sad the way it all went down and the way it ended for him. But, you know, you need to watch this documentary. There were so many different situations where I kind of related to Charles, and especially with my upbringing, a lot of things in common with Charles. And then as life continued to grow on, and how to chase success and to believe in yourself, and who cares what everyone else says. So really good story. A lot of people giving their comments and thoughts on Mask himself, you know, from Big John McCarthy to Donald Cerrone to so many. Just the way Bobby put us all together was absolutely fantastic. Then That screening was done. We had a couple hours to kill. So Elias Theodoro, who was also in attendance, we went out for lunch and got a long conversation with him as to what's happening with him. When's he going to be competing again? Look for big things from Elias Theodoro. I mean, this guy gets it. This guy understands it. And you know, not only did we do that, we spent lunch together. Or I guess dinner again. Sorry. Just a really good conversation. A guy who understands it. A guy who gets it. A guy that takes MMA very seriously. Takes his brand very seriously, and will be in the octagon sometime in early 2015. I can't tell you when, because it's not really confirmed. I mean, there's some thoughts out there, but he'll be out there. He'll be competing real soon. And again, middleweight, take a look at this guy. Pay attention to him. He's doing a fantastic job. He's no different to me than a guy like Mitch Gagnon, who gets it, who understands it, who's going to do real well with his career. Mitch Gagnon is taking on Hayden Brown next. I can't wait for that fight. It's going to be fantastic. But like I said, I was having dinner with Elias Theodoro. Then we turned back, went back into the theater under the assumption we were going to watch Rites of Passage, which is another classic from Bobby Razzik. But didn't happen that way. Nope. He decided to surprise us all, and he aired History of MMA. And it is an unbelievable story of how mixed martial arts got started in North America, going back a bit before it took place with the Ultimate Fighting Championship in November of 1993, looking back in Brazil, looking back at the whole Muhammad Ali and Tony Inoki fight, and then moving forward and how it all started with Art Davey and Horian Gracie and the Gracies and Hoist Gracie and stuff like that, and to pretty much where it's going today. There's so many things that I completely had forgot happened in mixed martial arts. Just a great stroll down memory lane. Fantastic job altogether, and it's not even done yet. This documentary is not done, and it's already awesome. So when you get a chance, when History of MMA does come out, make sure you watch it. It was absolutely fantastic. But my weekend was an absolute highlight. I got invited back from the Gentlemen's Expo. Once again, last year I was there to interview Faraz Zahabi and John Bones Jones on the stage. This year it was George St. Pierre. And of course, tons of people showed up. They want to hear what George has to say. And a variety of different topics came up. We did open up to the fans. I'm actually going to play a few fan clips as well, some of their questions, because they were really legit questions. But the whole thing with George St. Pierre, people want to know when he's coming back and all that stuff there. So all I really did is I started off the interview pretty basic. You know, what's going on? What's the latest? Where's your head at right now? What's going on in the life of George St. Pierre?
Well, now my knee, I was in rehab for my knee. Now I just start training again. I was always training, but more like fitness, musculation. That's why I got more muscle mass, but now I can get back to fighting training, like wrestling, boxing, and jiu-jitsu.
The one thing you notice about George St. Pierre, if you were there, if you saw any of the pictures over at the Gentleman's Expo, is he looks much larger right now. He's got a big frame as is, but he's looking like a big boy. He has definitely put on weight. So what does that mean for him?
Yeah, I have definitely a lot more power now. I feel it when I hit pad. People says to me, like, I hit much harder right now. And I correct a lot of movement pattern that I used to do wrong, and now I correct it. You know, so in order to correct it, sometimes you need to take a time off, you know, to stop and kind of, when you do it again, it's like a new start. So it feels very good for me, but I don't have any problem, because it's easier to put weight than to losing weight, I believe.
So in my mind, hearing that kind of stuff from George St. Pierre got me thinking, you know, is this a sign of things to come? But bottom line is, he gets back in the gym, and the one thing that I know, and I'm nowhere near any of these mixed martial artists in terms of elite level, especially considering a George St. Pierre, but every time I do take some time off and then I return to the gym, I feel like a white belt. I feel like I've never trained a day of mixed martial arts in my life. So I asked the same question to George. Does it feel like you're returning, you know, sort of like a white belt?
Not like a white belt. The first week back, the first day back, like, for example, in jiu-jitsu, the first week when I first roll, it was a very humbling experience. Like, my technique is there, but it's like my reflex. I'm always a second late, and I'm using way too much energy to do the work that I want to do. So I lost my efficiency. But now it's been, I would say, three, four weeks now that I'm back. It started to look pretty good now. It started to get back to where I was when I left. And even better, because I feel like I have more power and everything. But I still have to be cautious with some movement, because my knee is still not, like, I would say it's still not 100%. So, but it will be there soon.
So I simply followed up in terms of how is the knee doing? What's the difference between this surgery, the last surgery? Because there are two, obviously, surgeries on both knees. So what's the difference? And of course, you know, how cautious does he have to be when it comes to training?
Same exact thing. And on my right knee, it came back even better. It feels like I never had a surgery before. I'm not there yet with my left knee, but it will be the same in a few months. Like, it's just now, it's a question of time, you know? Like, I notice a little different now, but in a few months, I would say maybe around early 2015, it'll feel like it never happened before, so it will feel good.
So in terms of feeling good, the question then finally came up. You know, I had to wait a little bit to get the suspense building, but will he come back? Does he have any plans of coming back? I mean, I said it specifically in front of everyone. I think 99.9% of the people disagreed with me when I asked the question. I said flat out, I don't think anyone's going to agree with me. As a friend, I don't want him to come back. But does he want to come back? That's what really matters. Who cares what I think or what we all think? Does he want to come back? Will he come back?
The reason why I stopped, it's a mix of things. It's only one reason why. And getting back the itch, it's one of the reasons that would make me come back. But it's not the only reason. There's a lot of other reasons. But, of course, taking a time off will probably make me want to feel that competitive feeling again that I didn't have for a long time. I don't know. The question is, I don't know. Right now, I don't feel like I want to come back right now, but I feel like I'm having a lot more fun than I used to, and it keep the hitch keep growing and growing. So we'll see. If I find my hunger back and all stars are aligned and it's done like I want it to be done, why not? But we'll see. It's too early to say right now.
So he mentioned if all the stars aligned, if he gets the itch back, that's a little hint. We'll touch more on that a little bit later with George. But the next question that came up was specifically, okay, let's just get off this for a moment. We'll come back to it momentarily. Johnny Hendricks, Robbie Lawler, rematch. What are your thoughts, George?
Last fight, their last fight were very, very close. I gave it to Hendricks. You know, a lot of guys gave it to Lawler, but I gave it to Hendricks. I scored the same as the judges score it. But it seems to me like Johnny didn't have the same explosiveness that he normally has when he fought me, Kaufman, Condit. He didn't have that same power. I don't know why. Maybe because of his bicep. He says he tore his bicep. It could be a factor. But he really didn't look the same. So I believe if Johnny Hendricks came back and fight the same, he came back the same as he was when he fought Lawler will beat him this time. But if he came back with the same explosiveness he had before, I believe he's going to win. You know, but it's still hard to predict, but I believe if Johnny came back at his best, I believe he's going to win the fight against Robbie Lawler.
And of course, next in line will be George St. Pierre's very close training partner, Rory McDonald. His thoughts on Rory potentially getting the title shot, maybe in Montreal, maybe in Calgary. I'll get to that a little later on as well. But Rory, George St. Pierre's thoughts.
I'm very happy for Rory. I wish him the best. And in 2015, my knee will feel better, and I'll be there for helping him in his quest for becoming world champion. You know, I wish him the best, and I'll do everything I can to help him out. And he's got the skills and the mentality, the work ethic, determination to become a great champion, you know.
So at that point there, we had some different conversations on stage, but the one thing, again, was about the knee and getting back into the gym, because George loves being in the gym. So the question was, what is the goal now in the gym, short-term, mid-term, and long-term? And here's what George had to say.
Yeah, I haven't sparred yet mixed martial art. I did jiu-jitsu, wrestling, but only drills, like get into the guy's legs. I haven't sparred yet. I'm not. I don't have a fight schedule. When I fought Carlos Condit and I came back the first time, I was in a little bit in a rush, so I came back and sparring very fast. It was not the smartest move to do. It was very risky. But I did it because I wanted to get back to the title fast. But now I don't have any fight schedule, so I'm going to go back to sparring. We're talking about mixed martial arts sparring, like kick punch with takedown ground, full contact sparring. I'm going to get back in 2015. Right now, still, my knee is structurally 100%, but some movement sometimes is I would say I'm very cautious with some movement. I think it's more a mental block that I have, and it's important that if I go back to sparring, to not put myself in jeopardy. I need to not have this mental block that I have, and be 100%, you know, in my movement, my dexterity, and everything.
Now, one of the things, we go back to July of 2013, the weekend that Chris Weidman knocked out Anderson Silva, not when Anderson Silva busted his leg, the very first time, when Chris Weidman became the champion, that was in July of 2013, and one of the things that George and I, sitting in a suite, were talking, and we did the interview about drug testing and how he wanted to, him and Johnny Hendricks, to do drug testing. He would pay for it. He was sick and tired of all these things going on about people accusing him of doing performance-enhancing drugs and testosterone replacement therapy, or in general. So I asked George, you know, you got ridiculed when you first came out and wanted to do it, and now people are heralding you, saying, great job, listen to George St. Pierre, look at what he's doing, look at what he's saying. Things have changed since that day. So I just want to get his thoughts. You know, listen, drug testing nowadays, what are your thoughts? You like it, you don't like it? Give me your thoughts.
The thing people need to understand is a lot of these guys, they got caught with the old system. So that shows that this is only the tip of the iceberg, you know, so to speak. If they start doing random testing with an independent and competent organization, that would change a lot of things in the sport, and that's what I want. But in the same thing, it could make the sport look bad. But I think it's only a question of time, you know, and it will happen. If you want the sport to keep growing, it will happen. It's not if, it's a when. It will happen. I just hope it will happen while I'm still in shape and I can compete, you know? We'll see.
I've been saying it for a long time. Always read between the lines and pay attention to what George says. There's an example right there of if things change, he'll come back. Drug testing is huge to him. If things change, there's another example of, hey, you know what? That's done. Maybe I'm going to come back. But what about in terms of you know, technology nowadays? Because when you think about it, you know, the old adage, and this goes back to the whole, you know, Olympic days or Ben Johnson days and stuff like that, and not just Ben Johnson, but just everybody from the Olympic, Carl Lewis and stuff like that, that, you know, this is in cycling and stuff like that, where, you know, the guys taking the, or girls, people taking the drugs, are so far advanced than those trying to catch the drugs or the testers. So George also addressed that point there and said, listen, hold on a second. Here's what people don't understand.
The thing in the sport, the technology to use drug will all be have an edge on the technology that are testing the drug. That's how it is in the Olympic. But if you do random testing, it will make it harder. And in a sport of mixed martial art, we have big problem with testosterone drug, synthetic drug, EPO, growth hormone also. A lot of guys, they use that for recuperation. It's a big problem in the sport, you know. And you cannot cut everybody, you know, but at least if you make random testing, everybody will be under guard. They won't take it as much, so it will make it will not make as much of a difference. You know what I mean?
The problem with that, though, and not the problem with that, but the problem in general is drug testing nowadays is so expensive. But if it can be figured out, you got to think about this for a second. We might go through a stage in mixed martial arts that if there are so many guys and girls cheating, you know, TRT is already gone. The media really pushed on that, and TRT is now gone. Now, in terms of catching these guys doing EPO, you know, steroids in general, that's what we're trying to catch. Random drug tests, very, very important. What might happen is you might have a chapter in the history of mixed martial arts where all these different people are getting caught, and they get caught so much that they get suspended for 9 months, a year, perhaps banned for life. We're going to get rid of all these people that have been cheaters, and those that aren't cheating will move their way up. Problem is, drug testing isn't cheap. I'm not so sure George St. Pierre is really buying that argument, but I asked him anyway. I said, look, man, drug testing is not cheap. It's very, very expensive. At least the UFC is trying to do something about it. The commissions are doing something about it, but what's your take on that right now?
If you talk about this for my situation, I was ready to pay myself for me and for my opponent, you know, and I did it. I said it openly, you know, for me, it's important. if I ever come back and fight again, and this is not done yet, if I ever come back, it's a mandatory. I do it for myself and for my opponent, you know. But I'll pay for it. I don't mind. I don't care the other guys if they don't want to be tested. It's fine for them. If they can fight each other, I don't care. But for me, it's mandatory.
Bottom line: if you were to come back, you and your opponent must be tested.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Mandatory. It's mandatory.
So there you have it. Another hint. Another example of what it's going to take for George St. Pierre to come back. He's giving all these little hints, ladies and gentlemen. He gave so many at this thing. He gives them in all these different interviews, but some people aren't picking up. So there's another example right there. Drug testing is mandatory. Him and his opponent must be tested. He does not care what happens with anyone else. But every time he fights, he wants to be tested, and he wants his opponents tested. So that leads me to believe that one time when Dana White and Lorenzo Fertitta made their way up to Montreal a couple of weeks ago, the rumors of that steak dinner and meeting with George St. Pierre, it's a fact. The three of them did meet. There may have been other people there as well. But I want you to listen. What is your current relationship with Dana White and Lorenzo Fertitta? Here's what George said.
I have a very good relationship with both of them. Dana is the promoter, you know, he's the face. He's very emotional. Lorenzo is more rational. So you have two different kind of guys. You have a rational one and an emotional one. And to be a good promoter, Dana is the best at promoting stuff. Like, I never hate Dana. I always have a good relationship with him. Dana will do what it serves him best, you know, to promote the event. He doesn't care if he's bad or good. He want to promote it. He want to make the guys talk about it. And he's the best in the world. Nobody can deny he's just fantastic at what he does. Even though if you like it or not, you'll talk about it no matter what. And I know this. So for me, I don't take anything personal. I don't mind. And they always been there for me, you know. I always been treated very well with the UFC, you know. Like except that incident after the fight when he came out public, but he did that because that's what it served him best at the time, you know. For him, he didn't want me to leave with the belt. It didn't serve him best for business perspective, you know. That's how he says, you know. And I don't have any. I don't take it personal. Tell you the truth.
So that's a whole situation that stemmed from the post-fight press conference when George St. Pierre took on Johnny Hendricks and Dana White, you know, went off on that tirade about the commission, about George St. Pierre, and George St. Pierre wanted to take some time off. And, you know, leading up to that fight, I remember getting grilled by a lot of the media. I did a lot of interviews myself across the country. I did some stuff with American media in terms of George St. Pierre, what's going on, where's his head at, and all that stuff there. And I couldn't obviously divulge what I knew about the situation, but I knew that could potentially have been George St. Pierre's last fight. He'd already had thoughts about moving on with his career, or at least taking some time off again. There were extenuating circumstances. There were situations outside of the octagon that he had to deal with, and the hunger wasn't there. There was a lot of things. There were so many different things that, you know, that were bugging George St. Pierre, and he wanted to make sure that they all got taken care of. But after the fight with Johnny Hendricks, it was an absolute war for George St. Pierre. It was an absolute battle. You know, obviously, he's not thinking straight. He'd been punched in the head so many times, probably the worst he'd ever gone in a fight before. So he already planned that statement. He said what he had to say. The fight was controversial as is. Dana White's freaking out. I'll never forget in the situation in the room there, you know, my fellow media, a lot of them were looking back at me going, what's going on here? And in my head, I was kind of like, I wish Dana White would look me in the eye and kind of read my eyes, be like, dude, just go backstage, talk to George for a second. Talk to him for a second, then come out and do the post-fight press conference. And then what ended up happening, he said what he said. A lot of damage was done here in Canada. And I to this very day, I'm dealing with it with fans when I get stopped, whether I'm putting, you know, gas in my vehicle or buying milk at a grocery store, whatever. I get stopped all the time. People are still upset with Dana White with what he said. After the post-fight press conference, Dana White steps away. He's like, give me a second, guys. Give me 2 minutes. I want to go talk to George. Well, 20 minutes later, he then comes back in, and you saw a different, completely different Dana White, as if he had seen a ghost or something like, oh, no. Oh, no. What did I do? What did I say? But it happened. It's okay. Dana White wears his heart on his sleeve, and I'd never want Dana White to change. Just certain things with that specific night, I wish things were a little different, but it happened. So George St. Pierre, the whole situation was, you know, what do I do? What do I say? What's going to happen here? Did Dana White ever apologize? Did it bug George St. Pierre? Did George St. Pierre ever actually watch that post-fight press conference? I asked him this whole scenario, and I asked him about what went down afterwards, during, and all that stuff there, and here's what he had to say.
No, he didn't apologize. He wanted me to be... What he said, it was smart, because he wanted to create a buzz for me to say, okay, I'll come back and I'll do it again. You know, that's what he wanted me to do. But in a scale of happiness, you know, sometimes I'm thinking about it, and there is one of the reasons I stopped too. On a scale of happiness, since, I would say, Jake Shield in Toronto, like, after I came back for Carlos Condit, I was very motivated. I was very hungry because I didn't fight. I had the itch back. That was one of my best fights with Carlos Condit. But then after, it came back to the same. And when I fought Johnny Hendricks and Nick Diaz, I asked myself the question, if you would take a scale of happiness, who would be more happy to becoming world champion the night of the fight? Me, who gonna get the title another maybe 9 or 8 or 9 or 10 times, or the guy who gonna get it for the first time and it's gonna change his life, he's gonna have the exposure, the sponsor, the money and everything. I think on a scale of happiness, the contender will be way more happy to win it the first time than me to win it a second time. So that's when I realized that I was like, you know what? I'm not very, on a scale of happiness, I don't have the same anger. In order to gain that anger again, you need to get out of it and step back. And then that's why I take a break, you know. I need to, if I want to come back, I need to find that anger back, and it'll take time, you know, if I ever plan to come back.
Again, there you go. George St. Pierre, is he coming back? Is he not coming back? So there's a little backstory of what happened at UFC. I think it was UFC 167. All right. Much more from George St. Pierre. We'll also address the situation or the comments made by Kenny Florian that he agrees with Nick Diaz that George St. Pierre is afraid to fight Anderson Silva. George also gives us a hint on a big project he's working on, some questions from the fans that were in attendance. And, of course, I'm going to answer some of your questions that you posted up on my social media. You're listening to UFC Central on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. UFC Central. UFC Central with Showdown Joe.
Are you ready?
Welcome back to UFC Central. I'm your host, Showdown Joe. We're talking mixed martial arts, UFC, GSP, and everything in between on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network. So, there was a bunch of fan questions that came during my onstage appearance with George St. Pierre. Some of them were really, really good. I can't play all of them, obviously, but there's a couple that sort of came to mind, and one of them was a fan asking specifically about George St. Pierre, saying, listen, what are the keys to financial success? Is that so many athletes we hear about all the time that, you know, they make thousands and hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars and they end up broke. So he specifically asked George, hey, listen, what are your keys to success? And George has some really good advice in terms of what he did, what he's done, how he's learned from his mistakes. And here's how he addressed that specific question.
So it's a good question. By the way, it's a very important question. And it's not only for mixed martial arts, it's also for athletes. One of the reasons why I'm doing very well business-wise is I surround myself by competent people. I made mistakes in the past. I've been in lawsuit and things like that. I learned from my mistake, even though it's always better to learn from other people's mistakes. But I've been lucky and fortunate enough that those mistakes that I did happened a little bit earlier in my career than now. I'm surrounded by a good and very competent team. And in mixed martial art, it's hard because most of the guys that started mixed martial art, I was the same. When we first started, we don't have a lot of money. So we try to learn on the run at the same time as we grow as an athlete. And we listen to our friend and this and that. But one of the tips I have to tell the guys and the athlete is surround yourself by competent people, not by your friend. I mean, if they're your friend and they are competent, it's good. But make sure you make a good investigation of by who you're surrounding yourself to for your business, for management, for tax, lawyer. It's very important. Don't be afraid to spend money to make money. That's one thing I've never been afraid of, to invest on myself. Some people say, oh, I don't want to hire these guys, they cost too much money. But yeah, but by spending money, you'll make more money in return. You know, so you need to be smart in those things.
And yeah, you know, George has learned a variety of lessons with some of the losses he had to endure, and he didn't have the right people around him and sign the wrong deals. But you live and let, you know, live and let die, learn, get better. And no one had great success ever without failure, without making mistakes. And as long as you learn from those mistakes, you know, you become a better person, you become better at business. And that's what George St. Pierre has done. And you can see some of the business endeavors that he has done, whether it's Rush Fit, Touch Fit, some of the movie stuff that he's doing, and some of the investments that he's made. So he's doing a fantastic job. And the one thing that he's hinting at right now is working on a big project. Now, I don't know what that project is per se. He'll let me know when it is going to happen. I mean, if you watch the actual... if you were at the expo, I'll play that clip momentarily. It all stems from a situation that I believe. I don't know if this is the project. I'm just saying. After he answered that last question, I came up with the situation where, you know, it's sometimes difficult for a guy like me, you know, who's been around for a while, you know, who had a TV show, and there might be a new TV show coming up. I'm just saying. Just keep it down. Radio show, TV show, social media, interviews, and you know, having a bit of a public spotlight to interview guys, helping promote guys and girls to get to the next level, that I try and contact some of these younger fighters, and I've got to go through a publicist, I've got to go through a manager, I've got to get a hold of them, and it's just sometimes it's like, it's not even worth it sometimes, and sometimes I even get that, no, can't do it, he doesn't have time, you got to do it at a separate time. Well, no, this is when I'm doing the show, this is when we're in town, this is what we're doing. If they don't want to do it, that's fine. And I remember back in the day, I could just text or contact Tito Ortiz, Randy Couture, Chuck Liddell. Today it's George St. Pierre. I could just call George or text him and say, listen, you got 5 or 10 minutes for me, man? Yep, what do you need? So the biggest draw in the sport could simply say, yeah, no problem. But some of these guys that I'm trying to help get to that next level and give them some promotion, it's almost impossible to get a hold of them. So George and I had a conversation about that backstage afterwards. But he did mention again that, listen, there's a big project going on. I'll play the clip that he said in front of the crowd to get a little example. But he's got a big project coming up, and it should be coming out in 2015. But he's the one who brought it up, not me. Here's what he had to say.
And right now you talk about this, I work on a very big project. One of the reasons also why I stopped my career is I work on something very big. And I can't talk about it, but it's the first time I talk publicly about it. I'm working on a huge, huge project that, like you said, that would assure the future for me. So then after, my head will be clean. I'll be able to do whatever I want. Even though my future is pretty assured now, but we'll make sure, like now I'm working on a big, big project, something that is not have been done before. And you'll hear about it in 2015, early 2015.
Hey, Joe, that's a tease if we've ever heard one, huh?
Well, so I just give you a tease right now.
So what you're saying is they should follow at George St. Pierre on social media, and when it's time to talk about it, follow at Showdown Joe, and we'll get it out there.
Exactly.
There you go. So we actually talked about more of it. If you see my interview with George on sportsnet.ca, we do talk a bit more about it, but not much. It's going to happen later this year, in 2015. A lot of logistics need to take place. A lot of different pieces of the puzzle need to be put together before it does get released and before any information comes out there. But follow me on Twitter, on social media, Facebook, Instagram, at Showdown Joe. Follow George, at George St. Pierre. And the minute, he can start talking about it. I'll reach out to him. He'll reach out to me, whichever happens first, and then we'll take it from there. Now, one of the things with George St. Pierre, again, that's raising headlines is his recent comments. Pretty sure we talked about it on stage is Anderson Silva taking on Nick Diaz and his thoughts on Nick Diaz and how he believes that, you know, Nick Diaz is taking a big risk fighting George St. Pierre, fighting Anderson Silva at 185 pounds. Obviously, Nick Diaz recently, you know, came out and responded to that during the Time Is Now press conference for the Ultimate Fighting Championship, saying, look, at least I took the fight. Right? Yeah, man. I got to tell you, kudos to Nick for taking the fight. But the whole thing with Anderson Silva and George St. Pierre, there were a lot of things that George wanted done as it Anderson Silva. Yeah, my cold's really getting me, man. I'm going to start hacking here. Hopefully I won't, but my throat's really killing me here. So there's a lot of things that needed to happen for Anderson Silva and George St. Pierre to take place. We always talk about the stars aligning and stuff like that. So, George St. Pierre was at 170, Anderson Silva at 185. Anderson walks around at 230. We now know George St. Pierre is walking in and around 200 pounds, over 200 pounds. So, you know, there's a little glimpse there that maybe this fight will take place. Now, to each their own. Of course, Nick Diaz is That dude's crazy. That guy will fight anybody, anywhere, anytime. And now that he's getting paid, let's do this. So, you know, kudos to Nick, obviously, the bravado and then just being a man in terms of taking the fight. But for George St. Pierre, it's a different world. He doesn't want to look at it that way. He wants to make sure if he can do it, let's do it this way. I want to do it at maybe at 178, maybe at 175. And people mistake that. You know, Nick probably says, listen, he's scared. You know, George St. Pierre is scared. And that prompted Kenny Florian to agree with Nick Diaz in a certain way. Here's what Kenny Florian had to say about that very topic.
The fact that Nick Diaz said that GSP was scared to fight Anderson Silva, and that's why that fight didn't happen at 185 pounds. And you guys may be a little surprised by my answer. I actually think he's right. Now, GSP has been very good about competing his whole life, but it's always been at 170 pounds. Now, I also think that that fear of GSP or whatever it is being scared, that's what's driven him to be the greatest champion in UFC history. I think that's what brings out the best in George St. Pierre. And any champion, any fighter, always wants the odds to be in their favor. And for him to go up in weight at 185 pounds and fight a guy like Anderson Silva, who many consider the greatest of all time, well, I think it's a smart decision by George. George wanted to fight at more of a catchweight, 175, maybe even 170 pounds, where obviously the advantage would be in his favor. So, is GSP scared? Yes, and that's also what made him one of the best champions of all time.
Well, there you have it. Kenny Florian, and special thanks to Fox Sports and their segment At the Buzzer for that clip right there. So Kenny Florian gives his thoughts right there. Now, this was also a question asked at the Gentleman's Expo. A fan specifically wanted to know, listen, there was always talk potentially of a catchweight bout versus Anderson Silva, and George St. Pierre also addressed that.
You probably say that because I got a little bit bigger because I did a lot of musculation, so I gained a lot of muscle mass, maybe 8 pounds bigger. But I'm about 200 pounds right now. And just for you to know, I used to be 188, 190 pounds. I used to walk around when I competed, I was walking around at 188, 190 pounds. And the guy that I when I was off season, I always been 190 back in the day. The guy I was competing against there, 205, 210. So I always been smaller than my opponent. People don't know because I have a large frame. You know, I look bigger than I am, but I'm not as big as I look. Now I got bigger. I'm 200 pounds. I'm still in an average elite of welterweight guys. So if you talk about catch weight, it will be, I would need probably to put more weight still, but I don't do drug. I don't know how guys I can go up and down. I just don't know. It won't work for me. It took me like a good 6 months to put like eight pounds, you know, like it was hard. And because I didn't do as much cardio, I trained more in explosive stuff and I focus on musculation, but I don't know if I do a catchweight, it depends, you know, it's depends what's going to happen.
Well, there you have it there. So this sort of brings me along now to all the questions that were asked on my Twitter feed and Facebook and stuff like that. One of the questions comes from Tim's Toy 86S15. He says, wondering what your thoughts are on the claim from Nick Diaz and Kenny Florian that GSP is scared to fight Anderson Silva. In my opinion, no. There is no way George St. Pierre would be afraid to fight Anderson Silva. I don't think he was ever afraid to fight Anderson Silva. I think he wanted to make it, obviously, you know, he's at 170. Anderson's at 185. George walked around at the time at 183. Anderson walking around at 230. It's what he told me one time he came to the UFC Central Studio. So there's a big weight difference there, you know. So if George is going to do it and have to give up that much weight, well, let's try and meet somewhere in the middle. And I think he wanted to do something at 178. You know, he never publicly said it. He never confirmed or denied that. But at the same time, that's what I think they were hoping to accomplish, some sort of catchweight fight. It didn't happen. Nick Diaz now jumps in and says, I'll fight Anderson Silva at 185. Hey, listen, all kudos to Nick Diaz. But do I think George St. Pierre was scared, was worried, is afraid to fight Anderson Silva? No, not in a million years. I don't think so. And Nick Diaz at that press conference and Kenny Florian saying what he's saying, listen, everyone's entitled to their opinion, and I got no problem with anyone's opinion. So it is what it is. Now, that press conference, the time is now, earlier in the week, prompted Symantex to ask me, why is it that the UFC has become so worried about image? physically. The press conference was too formal. Now, I'm not sure I agree with them worried about their image. I think that press conference was done very professionally. I don't know about being too formal. I think it was a great press conference. I mean, if you're going to do a press conference, I would much rather watch how the Ultimate Fighting Championship did it than you watch some of these other press conferences that are just absolutely, you know, and I'm not just talking mixed martial arts, I'm talking about other sports as well, that are just, you know, pretty much informal and very unprofessional. I mean, the UFC was announcing all these different fights, had all these different champions and contenders and main eventers up on stage. Make it look good. Why not? I mean, I don't see why not. I would rather see something look great and professional, like fighters showing up dressed up in suits as opposed to, you know, their t-shirt and shorts and a hat on backwards. You know, let's look professional. This is a professional sport, in my opinion. Let's make sure this is done properly. So it is what it is. I understand what you're saying, but I had no problem. I don't think the UFC is worried about their image per se. But at the same time, you know, the UFC has to sort of worry about their image because you never know what can take place in the sport. One wrong move and a lot of damage can be done. So keep it professional. You know, this is the company run by billionaires. I mean, the Fertittas are no joke. They know exactly what they're doing when it comes to business. So make it look clean. Make it look professional. I have no problems with that whatsoever. All right, another question from Louis Lee J asking, do you think a Rory title fight in Calgary would be enough to redeem the UFC of the past lackluster/injury-ridden Calgary card? The answer, obviously, is yes. I mean, if Rory McDonald can defend his title, can fight for the title in Calgary, that would be an absolutely huge show for Cowtown. Problem is, you look at the events calendar at the Saddle Dome, they are booked. There's a tenant in there. The Flames are playing on Friday, which is, you know, generally okay. The Flames can, you know, the UFC can go anywhere whenever there's an event happening on a Friday night because their events are on Saturday. They get to work anyways to put up the octagon and set everything up usually on the Friday night anyways if they have to. But the Calgary Roughnecks are taking on the Rochester Nighthawks at the Saddle Dome on March 14th. That is the tentative plan as to when that UFC pay-per-view will be taking place. As I mentioned in my article on sportsnet.ca, the Bell Center is free on March 14th. So I would imagine that the UFC will have their next pay-per-view, or at least the next pay-per-view in Montreal, on March 14th, specifically in Montreal. So, I mean, anything can happen. Who knows what happens? But that's where I think that fight's going to take place. I think Rory, if he does fight for the title, whether it's the winner of Johnny Hendricks and Robbie Lawler, it takes place in Montreal on March 14th. All right, next question comes from JoelCore204, who asks me, I'm sure you can't address it, but as a Canadian, where will I be able to watch UFC TV programming in 2015 plus? Yes, Joel, I can't address it, but I can tell you this, an announcement will be forthcoming very, very soon. Believe you me, you and I, and believe me, I need to know as well, but I'm pretty sure an announcement will be coming soon as to where you'll be watching. And you can watch Saturday, as I mentioned it, I don't know if I mentioned it earlier, but you can definitely watch UFC Fight Night in Austin on Sportsnet 360 this Saturday, starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 straight hours of programming, going all the way till 1 a.m. or plus, Frankie Edgar taking on Cub Swanson in the main event. It's going to be great. All right, Mark Colomaco asks, what is your take on the Milwaukee kickboxing tragedy and the recent negative comments towards Duke Rufus? I'm running out of time here on the show. I did watch the video. It is an absolute tragedy the way it all went down. I have no issues with Duke Rufus. He has treated me like gold from day one. That whole camp has treated me great, but I did watch the video. It was a lot of unfortunate errors that took place that ended up causing, someone their life. So it's you need to watch the video, check it out. I mean, just Google it. It's very, very sad. But, you know, it's I don't blame Duke Rufus. It's just a terrible situation. All right, from my Facebook, Otto Cecil, what fight most intrigues you for the coming year? Oh, my goodness. Are you kidding me? There's so many of them. I definitely want to see Anthony Pettis defend his title against Gilbert Melendez. I can't wait to see Daniel Cormier and John Bones Jones go down. I want to see Conor McGregor, how he does against Dennis Seaver. So many belts to look forward to. It's going to be a great end of 2014 and an even better 2015. All right, special thanks once again to 40 Sons for the song Hurricane. Make sure you subscribe to UFC Central on iTunes. Follow me online at Showdown Joe and on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Thank you very much for listening. You have been listening to UFC Central on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network.